It's good, right? Yeah. So I've come up here today. I know a lot of people wonder what I'm going to talk about. And I thought a lot about it. And I was thinking, I can see y'all faces. Y'all like, oh, Jaquanda's talking. Okay. No, seriously. I really thought about it, and I thought about courage, because that's what I'm up here doing. I've been courageous. I said to you, telling or reminding a whole bunch of adults about courage. So, let's get started. First thing first, let's talk about what is courage. Anybody think what is courage? Yes, I'm going for hands. What is courage? Anybody?
Being brave.
Being brave? Anybody else? Anybody else? What do you say? Okay, that's true. Anybody else? Well, I'm going to give you the Google definition of courage. Yeah, both of us right, though. It says courage, the ability to do something that frightens one. So, in my own terms, courage is basically getting out of your comfort zone and doing something. And left my notes up here. My bad. You know, Jaquan. Whatever. Okay, my bad. My bad. Okay, my bad. I need my notes. Okay, so going on. I'm going to give you an example of what is courage. My own example. Last time we went to a mission trip, New York, you know, we had to knock on doors. The most uncomfortable thing you possibly can do in your life, I swear it is. Going up to somebody randomly, and knocking on the door and telling them about God. And you know, it's hard to talk about God to any random person anyways. And that takes courage. Courage is what we need to get through the walk with Jesus. We can't go without courage. We can't sit there in front of a TV and say that we're going to get somewhere and a walk with God. Okay, so keep on going on. I'm talking about some of the types of courages. So, let's go to 1 Samuel 17, I believe. Okay. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul and sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man hear my heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war of his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from the mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught it by its beard, and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he is a defendant of the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivers me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said and gave, "Go, and the Lord will be with you." So out of that, I'm not going to read, y'all know the rest. Out of that, y'all know the story. David and Goliath, basically a little boy and a big guy. Matter of fact, I want y'all to kind of see this. So I want to get Ernest and Chef to stand up here. Okay, now look at this. This is Goliath right here, okay? This is David. No, I'm kidding. This is Goliath, and this is David. Goliath is way, way bigger than David, which y'all mostly know. And David is, anyways, what makes it cool about the story is, and show how courageous it is because David, Ernest, gets up there and says, "The Lord is on my side. With the Lord on my side, I can stand up against Chef and hit him in the face." Not really. And get through what I need. See, y'all can sit down now. I just want people to see how it looks like. See, what the courage with David was, he was able to get up there and say, "The Lord is on my side." And since he said, "The Lord is on my side," he was able to get through any trial and tribulation that would come through his way. And that's how we all need to be. We all need to be like David and say, "Okay, I see this problem in front of me. And I don't want to be too afraid to go up against it. I want to say, okay, I see you here. I see you in front of my face. Let me go through it because the Lord is on my side." So we all got to understand that the Lord will always be on our side. And that will build up our courage. Because, you know, once again, we need courage to keep on going on with the walk with Jesus. So let me keep on going. It's not going to be a long lesson. Anyways, let's go to Peter stepping out of the boat. So Matthew 14, 22-23. My bad, I'm not going to hype it up here. Okay. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go after him to the other side, while he sent them a multitude away. And when he had sent them a multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was carried. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walked on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' They cried out of fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered and said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me and come to you on this water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter said and had come down out on the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. When he saw that the wind was both stertorous, he was afraid. He was afraid and beginning to sink and cried out and saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased and they came and then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Peter stepped out the boat. First, let me explain the story. The story was, they got on a boat, waiting for Jesus, I guess, I don't know. And Jesus was out somewhere else praying. Then a storm comes. Now, y'all know them kind of storms that extremely, extremely loud and scary. The ones with striking lightnings and huge rains. And it's even worse because they on water, so they on the wavy, wavy water. So they just striking back and forth, keep on going. And then they see something out there. And then Jesus speak. And Peter says, "Oh, if it's you, let me come out to you." He goes out. He walks on water. Amazing. Walks on water, and when he goes, since the water is so wavy, And he got so scared, he started to sink. And Jesus picked him up and said, main thing, what I'm talking about is, he said, you have little faith, why do you doubt? Doubt. That is one of the biggest things that we all have in our lives that kills us, not literally, but it destroys us from the inside. We cannot have courage without doubt. And don't get me wrong, you can have a little bit of doubt because, I mean, everybody doubts themselves just a little bit. But fully letting doubt overcome you will make you scared and make you fail at what you already think you're going to fail at. Doubt is not good. It's just not good at all. I want to give y'all an example of what a doubt does. Now, in my eyes, I like to play a lot of games, and so I see things, life is kind of more of like a game. You can debate me on that however you want to. All right. This is your courage meter. You got to have it up to go through life. You build it up, you know, you refill it, do everything with it. Now, this is doubt. When you just have, you have doubt in your heart, this is what happens. I see the bottle. This is now your courage. You is now is a scared of what you're doing. You are fearing what you're doing. You're messing up a lot on what you're doing. And when you get fully overcome by doubt, when you fully just let it take you over, this is what happens. It's gone. All your courage is gone. You no longer have the courage to get up and do what you need to do. And later on in life, you're going to be going back and regretting what you wish you would have did. And that's what doubt does to courage. It utterly destroys it. And once again, don't get me wrong, you just have a little bit, because don't we all? But that's what doubt does to courage. So, slightly moving on. Let's go on to the next one. This is my favorite one. This is the one I like the most. This is the one I feel like it connects to me mostly. It's Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let us be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship a golden image which you have set up. Let me explain the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and I keep on wanting to say the billy goat, but okay, let me explain the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was three guys, three good friends. And it was the king Nebuchadnezzar saying, man, I'm that great. I want to build a statue of me, and I want people to worship it. So, you know, at that time, y'all know the story, build an image, and then at that hour, people would play the flute, the harp, I mean, whatever they need to play. And They play in, and everybody bowed down to that image. These three guys said, nah, that ain't me. I'm going to stand up, and I'm only going to worship my Lord, Jesus. And so, you know, at that time, Nebuchadnezzar was like, what? You ain't worshiping me? And they all like, no. So they go there. He called a man. He said, well, you basically read the story. And he answered and said, no. But I want you to notice something about the story. Throughout the whole, I mean, not the story, but throughout that whole answer he was giving back to Nebuchadnezzar about how he's not going to worship it, he said, we. We as in us together, as in a unit. Meshach, Shemrach, and Meshach and the Abednego was a unit. It was together. They had enough courage because they felt like together, well, let me rephrase that. They courage build build on top of one another. Matter of fact, I want to give y'all an example of how we build on courage of one another. I want everybody in here to stand up if you can. See, look, everybody don't mind standing up, huh? Because we all want to, we all together. So I want everybody to sit down other than Tad. How you feel, Tad? You're comfortable, huh? You sound comfortable. No, but truly. You can sit down now. That example I would try to show you is that when we all stood up together, nobody minded standing. I mean, everybody felt good about standing up. Oh, we all together, we're standing up together. But when Tad was by himself, standing up, how did he feel? He felt very uncomfortable. His courage meter went down. And since our courage, we build, our friendship builds off one another. It goes up and down off what each other, off what our courage does. Okay, let me just go on. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. Okay, I want to give you this. I never told nobody this. I never said nothing. I'm just not, I don't talk about my feelings much because it's just not me. But this is what made me really, really believe in Ladarius. I guess really maybe his best friend. All right. So one day, I believe we was at Dallas. Yeah, we was at Dallas. And we got the soda pops. Okay, you know them soda pops. Mr. Brandon somehow had a bottle opener for some reason. We had a bottle opener. We went to our rooms, and I heard some shocking news about something a long time ago, girl problems, and you know I was all sad and stuff. You know, teen problems. So I was trying to open it up, and I couldn't open it up. Dummy said, "Let me try." So I gave him to, he tried it. He said, no, it hurts my hand. I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. The Darius came up. He said, my face now was kind of tearing up because of it. He came up to me. He said, did it open? I was like, yeah. He grabbed it. He tried to open it. He twisted it. He couldn't get it open. I said, man, you just forget it. He said, no, I can get this open. He said, all right, here we go. He twisted it. He twisted it as hard as he can. He twisted it, then, pop, it opened. He opened up the bottle by itself. And he gave it to me. He said, here you go. And I drank it. I felt a little bit better. But then I saw it. I looked at it. His hand had a cut on it. He cut his hand for the open up my bottle. Now, that to me is not a symbolism of just opening up my bottle. That symbolizes to me that he's basically told me without words that no matter what you're going through, No matter what you're going through, I got you. I've got an arm and leg for you, so you just can feel better for yourself. I hope not, because you need your arm and leg. But I would do this for you. That was basically really, really made me say Ladarius is like somebody I would give my life for. And that story, I want y'all to think about it. That's how we should be all to one another. We all should be able to look at each other and say, man, I'll help this guy out just so he can make it feel better. I will leave what I want to do just so the group can make they feel better. You do that so you can build up your courage, as I was going to. Okay? And just wrapping things up. We all got courage in us. That's what God gave us. He all gave us courage. And I talked about all types of courages. Well, just really three. But I talked about it. And if Yasmin was able to get up here and get baptized for the first time, obviously it was on one time, but be able to get up here, a 50-year-old, what's so hard for you to get up there to get baptized? Yasmin showed courage. Why can't you? So stand as we start singing.